performance by an actor in a supporting role in any motion picture. Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck.
Can you tell how fucking trained these guys are just to read the teleprompter?
You know? Ben Affleck.
Oh, man.
All right. There's always, we'll joke about it on live here. Okay.
Let's get going. All right. Hello and welcome to season 5 of Scenevaders. I am Dan. This is episode 251. Today we are joined by Brad from Canada.
Hello, everybody.
As well as young Roland. How we feeling?
What up? Don't forget about Sports Invaders.
Invader Sports.
Oh, yeah, somebody got us already.
You're the host of Invader Not yet. Sports.
Did I pick the wrong name? Maybe. But yeah, Invader Sports. We got NHL and EPL on there consistently. And we're going to have more sports. But next week, actually, thanks for the reminder, we're going to have definitely Luke, possibly Adam. They're both my co-host, and they live across the pond in England, just outside of London, to be more specific. So it's going to be our United Nations episode, because Brad from Canada is going to join us as well. Nice. And we're going to be representing 3 countries with our co-hosts across platforms, because it is a separate podcast. And it's the first episode of the Scenevaders universe, the multiverse.
Ooh.
How's that feel, Brad?
I'm pretty sure we're the first podcast to ever go that far and wide and include Canada. we all know Canada's the state's little brother. We understand.
All right. So as always, this episode is sponsored by Cruise Planners. If you guys want to know more about that, go to DellsTravelCompany.com. Or hit up Steven Del Carlino, 610-368-0908. I know we got COVID going on right now, but if you need to get anywhere, he's your guy. And especially if you're not testing positive, because COVID sucks, and I can't believe it's still here. And I can't wait to get all the way up to the Great White North to see my man Brad from Canada. That one day, we're doing a live episode that day on YouTube.
Oh, we'll do it from the bar.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh. Get a spot in the bar, like in the back. Just go.
There's a myriad of bars around here that know me. So we'll always have a good spot. We'll always have VIP
triple D's section over there.
Oh yeah.
That'd be great. I'll get some of that. Awesome. Some of the poutine. Isn't that what you guys eat?
Poutine, Canadian bacon, donairs, all with a side of barley and hop sandwiches.
You know, I had Tim Hortons once. When I was in Buffalo. And it is nice. I wish there were more around here. But
I had Dunkin' Donuts when I was in Florida.
Oh, and, did you?
Yeah, it's not Tim Hortons.
No, it's not. It's definitely not. Tim Hortons has like that home cooked quality feel to it for some reason. I don't know why. Like when I went in, my anxiety dropped. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah.
That's like every Canadian that shows up 20 minutes before work and they get their hit of coffee and normally a large double double, some Timbits, and then
that's the opposite of Dunkin' Donuts then. Or anxiety. Yeah. You get anxiety when you go to Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, you can't say your order wrong. They'll fucking break your neck. Yeah. So this episode, we're gonna go over some Golden Globes winners, not all of them, just gonna highlight the ones, and we're gonna speak on some Golden Globes controversy that Brad just told me about, and we were talking about pre-show. Pretty interesting. And then we're gonna finish the show with some Spider-Man theories, right? Because I had COVID. I wasn't on the Spider-Man review episode, and there was 2 of them, and I wasn't on that. So we're going to talk about, here's some things to marinate for the next 45 minutes or so before we get to it. Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire. When will we see them again? I didn't say if. When are we going to see them again? Are they going to get their own solo movies, like Spider-Man 4 with Tobey, with like Amazing Spider-Man 3 with Andrew Garfield? Or are they only going to show up in a limited capacity like we saw them in No Way Home? So that's some things to think about. Me and Brad had a conversation about this already, and there's actually a lot to get into. Don't you think, Brad? It's like never ending.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can just go.
The loophole of dark holes.
Oh, you can go forever on this stuff. Before all like the movies and all that stuff, I would show up at the comic shop and there was Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, and all the way up to Ultimate Spider-Man, and everyone would grab their favorite, and we would just sit there and just jaw and talk for hours and hours. The possibility, what if, how about this, what if this happened? And now the world is doing it, because the world has seen these movies.
I can't believe it's only mere months ago that we were begging for a trailer, and now it's a fact. It happened. And what next, man? What next? So yeah, we're going to end the show on that. It's going to be a lot of fun. But as always, let's kick it off with what's new. So Brad, hit us. What you been up to, man?
Actually, I picked up a trade paperback, a comic called Fine Print. It's from a Croatian writer artist, Stepan Sej. It's he's done a lot of creator owned stuff. He works a lot for Image, that's his main publisher. But this is about a fashion model and her lost love, and she kind of sells her soul to a race of demons in order to get her love. And it kind of goes everywhere. The art is beautiful. There is twists and turns, and it's never really what you're expecting. So if you can pick that up, you got to support this guy. I've talked to him on Twitter a few times. I've talked to him on over PlayStation. He is the nicest guy in the world, and he is an uber talent. And Stepan Sej, he's done the romance novels, Sunstone. He's written for DC, done a lot of art for Aquaman and stuff like that. Really, really a talent you got to highlight and check out.
Okay. So what's this book called again?
It's called Fine Print.
Fine Print. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of like a contract. Read the fine print.
Oh, cool. That's actually one of my resolutions this year, to read more. And I have a couple lined up that I got for my birthday in April. So I'm going to start those and give my thoughts on it. It's funny because that was one of the old, remember the old joke with Cinevaders years ago? You know, one of the co-hosts would be like, we cover books too. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that. But
I'm here to bring that back, because I've been reading a lot more than I've been watching, and I've been enjoying it. So as soon as I'm done Fine Print, I got like maybe 20, 30 more pages to go. I'm going to put a blog up on cinevaderspodcast.com. So you should check that out too.
Okay, cool. Yeah, which cinevaderspodcast.com. Everybody's going to have their own account soon. Everybody on the team is going to be writing blogs. It's really interesting stuff. Check it out. You could just go to the website, or you could subscribe to the newsletter to get informed on new blogs and stuff like that. But yeah, I would highly suggest going on that. It's a lot of fun. Well overdue that we had a website back. But it's nice to write. I'm going to be writing one this week. I got to figure out on what. I wish I finished Yellow Jackets, because the finale's on Sunday, and I just saw the 9th episode like 2 hours ago.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'll talk about it in a minute, but
okay.
That show, man. Whew. Wow. All right, sorry. Go on.
I'm going to carve out a day and just binge that. That sounds like it's one I just can't watch one, and I
No.
Yeah, that's right after one, then the next, and the next, and the next, and the next.
Yeah, I'd be finished by now. A while ago. If I was able to. Every time I'm caught up, I get all sad. So
best and worst feeling.
Yeah, seriously. All right, come on. What else you got?
Actually, the only thing I've actually checked out is the Book of Boba Fett. They're two episodes in, and I freaking love this thing. Like, I can't believe what they, like, it almost is too simple what they did, but it's perfect. It's perfect. It's like the redemption of Boba Fett.
Backstory.
Getting out of the Sarlacc pit. We all knew he did. I read the comic book way back in the day, and it's pretty true to form on how he did it. And they've deviated since. In the comic, he got out and just kind of wrecked everybody because he's Boba Fett and everyone loved him. But in this, yeah, he gets into a little bit of issues, a lot of troubles. Does not do well with the Jawas and does not do well with the Sand People. And it's Boba Fett learning how to be, well, where he's at, which is he's trying to take over Bib Fortuna's spot as who took over Jabba the Hutt's spot. He wants to be the crime boss of Tatooine.
Yeah. That first episode, like you said, that was such great fan service that we got, because, you know, people have had that theory for fucking what, 40 years? Something like that.
He died. No, he didn't. He died.
Yeah. And people have written fan fiction about this very incident. And then we finally get, you know, a detailed description of what happened and how. It's great.
Well, I read the novels that are not canon anymore, but like, speaking of reading, they're like a lot of fun. If you can go check out, I believe they're called, well, anything, it's that's not canon now. It's called Star Wars Legends.
Mm-hmm.
It's just apparently old stories that that the canon people like swap about Star Wars and stuff, about the goings on.
So cool.
But they're just great stories. They're great stories. And who'd have thunk that something way back when would still have so much vitality? Like, there's a documentary on Boba Fett on Disney Plus right now, and apparently he's on screen in the original trilogy for under 10 minutes, and he has maybe 7 lines.
Mm-hmm.
And this character captured everybody's imagination. I have a theory why. It's the cool helmet.
Yeah. Before I got super into watching all the Star Wars movies and shit, and probably sometime in my teens, I don't remember exactly when, but I actually would listen to Kevin Smith talk about them before I saw them. And he was so obsessed with Boba Fett. And I'm like, you know, what's up with this movie? You know, what's up with this character? And then when I first went through all three of them, I'm like, really? Like, people are so obsessed with that person? Yeah. So it's crazy that the lore of the character was way more than the actual character. Now we're getting that backstory of what people loved all along, you know, and now they're finally getting a story to it. It's great.
It's like, It's like we knew he had to be somebody type of special or tough guy to be in that crowd or to be contacted by them. And we wanted to know, what did he do before this or after? Because, you know, Darth Vader don't talk to you like that. Jabba the Hutt ain't going to have him like that for no reason. Like, why is this guy everywhere, but we don't have know nothing about him?
Like, Darth Vader doesn't just talk to you, but you don't talk back to Darth Vader. I've seen a lot of guys get force choked for giving a half the sass that freaking Boba Fett gave, you know? And I think it was just the term bounty hunter is really cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And just the description, the look, the ship, Slave One. And now you're getting him. He's kind of like, well, Boba of Arabia, like, kind of doing like it right down to the train, like taking down the train.
Mm-hmm.
It's Lawrence of Arabia. They're picking from the greatest movies and the greatest scenes. And
smart.
I want to shout out the ninja sand person.
Mm-hmm.
The dress in black. She's amazing. Like,
the one that taught him how to fight.
Yeah, she's stunt woman. Her name's Joanna Bennett, and she's like 52 years old, and she has done stunt work in every Marvel movie, a bunch of DC movies. She's an uber talent, and watching her take down everybody on that train, and even teaching Boba how to fight, and besting him in the original fight. I saw her in the black cloak and stuff like that. I'm like, I hope that's a female stand person, because that would just be the coolest. And it was. I fell down the rabbit hole of her work, and she is amazing. She's been
change information right there.
She's got nominated for a few ensemble stunt awards and won a couple for Captain America Civil War. She won a stunt award for it. So. Yeah, it's all Disney productions, but they got the best people, and it really shows. It's just a great show.
Yeah, it's so well done. I mean, props to Jon Favreau too. Like, yeah, that's why I thought he was going to get killed in No Way Home, because how busy he is with Star Wars now. Like, he's essentially turning into the Kevin Feige of Star Wars. I know, yeah, it's early.
Him and Dave Filoni. Him and Dave Filoni.
Right, those two.
Like, I want to watch them, like, just... I picture them both sitting down, surrounded by a bunch of Star Wars characters, like toys.
Yeah.
And just playing. And I want to watch them play. And then watch them make shit. Like, I'll just watch whatever, because... I don't know. Some people call it fan service. Some people are saying, like, we didn't need to know this. We didn't need to know that. We didn't know how we got out of the Sarlacc pit.
This is the biggest fan service ever, probably.
I needed to know. I need to know that he used the breathing tube from the stormtrooper. I need to know that he punched his way out. And I needed to know that them bastard Jawas took his fucking armor. God damn it, I hate them things. Yeah. I was so happy when Mandalorian disintegrated a few of those. I was happy. I hate them.
Yeah. Now, it's still early in the game, and Mandalorian had such a great second season, but I still prefer that. But I mean, no discredit to Book of Boba Fett. It's been great so far, and it's awesome that it's on a Wednesday, because not many shows come out on Wednesdays, so it's like something to do, and it's something to look forward to on Wednesdays, because otherwise, who gives a shit about Wednesdays?
Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but smart.
Wednesday stuff, I notice.
Yeah, it is smart. Well, okay.
Wednesday's new comic book day for all those other nerds.
But... True. True. All right, Roel, what do you got, man?
I was surprised to see Cobra Kai back out.
Right.
I watched a couple, three episodes. For some reason, it's like, I know it's not the best acting,
It's horrible acting.
But
it's
funny and entertaining.
I've watched a few of them, and oh my God, I can't.
Yes.
I'm a child of the 80s, and I thought Jean-Claude Van Damme was the greatest actor in the world. He's not.
He's in the last episode.
I can't get past the acting.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
Oh, it's spoiler alert. Bad.
You're watching Bloodsport in the car drive-by movie theater.
Drive-in.
They're like Jean-Claude Van Damme talking about him. But it's just entertaining for some reason.
I'll watch it if Van Damme's got like a background scene, because I'm still a Van Damme fan.
They just show him, showing him being the guy up in Bloodsport.
Yeah, it's weird, because it's like the corniest good show around. And I would put Outer Banks in the same category, but Outer Banks is better acting, and that's not the best acting, but they're both like corny, you can't look away, and there is some nostalgia factor too.
You're like two episodes in already, like, oh, let me watch more.
Yeah, right.
Fast. Yeah. And I guess if you grew up watching it, it's good.
Yeah, I already finished it, and it's fine. I like Johnny Lawrence, so I'm gonna keep coming back. I like his character. And I like that they also did the same thing with fan theories, because this was a fan theory.
Yeah.
Like people were like, oh, Johnny was right all along. You know,
I remember Daniel's
the bully.
You and Pat Egan or somebody went back and forth a couple seasons ago.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. Didn't that theory come from Barney on How I Met Your Mother?
That was that was one of them. But there was also a YouTube video that came out a while ago.
Yeah, how you look at it, too.
Yeah, but How I Met Your Mother definitely highlighted that for sure. I actually just watched all his scenes from that recently, because I was on Johnny Lawrence kick. But yeah, it's definitely entertaining. It has an entertaining factor to it for sure. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
I'm sure I'll deep dive in it. And I'll watch it and just laugh and just have fun with it.
Oh, dude, some of the scenes are outrageous.
I have watched. I think the last episode I watched had Daniel-san and Johnny. They get in like some kind of fight at a garage.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know what you're talking about.
They're looking for Johnny's. That's Johnny's son, right?
Yeah, his son. Yeah.
Okay. I'll watch.
Some of the fight scenes are. Dude, there's a full-out riot at school.
I saw that.
And the kids don't get kicked out. They don't get kicked out. Like, come on, man. It's just like, first of all, the one dude almost dies. Like,
yeah, he got kicked off the balcony paralyzed, or whatever.
Nothing happened.
Man, fucking nuts, dude. Yeah, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
It's so great. Had, it's so great had, that they could do that,
the though. Walking Dead bat, too, remember?
He had, like, yeah. Yeah, it's just not. That girl, Tori, is a lunatic. Yeah. She's a lunatic. And yeah, they tried to humanize her. They tried to humanize her this season.
Brother. She takes care of her little brother, doesn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, and her mom's not there.
She came so out a long way, too, acting-wise.
Yeah, Miguel didn't. Miguel definitely didn't. And he's the main kid.
I heard that Warner Brothers is looking to get the actor that plays Miguel to play Jaime Reyes, Blue Beetle, in the movie.
Oh no!
This is what That's I heard.
Bad idea.
But, yeah. Warner Brothers and DC making classic choices for dollar bin movies.
Right. It's like
popular name. That's all.
I mean, I'm super excited for the Batman, but that's not connected to anything. But we got Peacemaker coming out, so we'll see. We'll see. I'm still going to be there for him.
I'm excited for Peacemaker, and I saw a production still of the Riddler, what they have him look like. Mm-hmm. And apparently, a lot of people are very upset.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's not some clown in a green leotard with a bunch of question marks on it. Guess what, people? Nobody is that.
Yeah.
Nobody is that. Did you not see the bulletproof Batman beating the everlasting, ever-loving shit out of people? You need a credible threat. And some dude in a leotard, 8 seconds, Batman breaks him in half. Credits. That's not fun. That's not fun.
He's going for... Well, no, that's exactly it. I mean, they're going for a gritty look. Matt Reeves has a vision. He's greenlit. I believe he's going to be doing the next one too. And I wouldn't be surprised if he did all three, like Nolan did. And you know, unless something bad happens with their relationship, but it's a different take. And I saw on Twitter, it was like, you really want a gritty, dark take that Matt Reeves is taking in his direction to fight this dude? And it was Jim Carrey's version.
Well, I mean, not for nothing. Like, okay, we've seen the Jim Carrey version.
Right.
It was fine.
Yeah, we've seen it.
And we've seen the Danny DeVito Penguin. Nice, and we've seen all these things. I don't want to see what I've seen already. As Batman, they're never going to change. They're going to have a little, keep in the bat suit, all that stuff, because that's going to be pivotal. But yeah, give me a different Joker. Give me a different Riddler. Give me a different Penguin.
Because I've seen all this stuff. It's a different Catwoman too.
And she looks amazing.
Yeah,
but everybody that's always saying, oh my God, this is not my Riddler. This isn't this. Guess what? Your Riddler is still there. It's in the comic books. It's in the productions you've seen. Mm-hmm. Just give it a chance.
This is our Riddler now. New one. New generation.
And guess what, man? Paul Dano was a good actor. I think he's going to crush it. I really do. And
you know, watching him put the duct tape around the victim's face, alive or dead, that's creepy as hell.
Uh-huh. No more lies written on it.
No, that is creepy as shit. And
I'm really curious.
I haven't seen that in a Batman movie. I have not been scared or freaked out in a Batman movie. I'm ready for it.
I'll tell you what, the best part of Riddler that I ever got from the comics isn't the goofiness to it. It was always his knowledge, right? He always has something on someone. So he's got something on Bruce Wayne in this movie.
He knows who Bruce Wayne is.
Right. But I think he might have something more. I think he might have something on his parents or some dark, dirty secret that he's going to release to him. And I can't wait to see it, man. I can't wait.
It's going to be fun.
This is year two of Batman also that Pattinson's playing.
Yeah.
And it's going to shape who he is for the trilogy. So it's really going to be awesome. I can't wait. And that's the movie of the first half of the year for me that I can't
absolutely
wait to see.
Yep.
I'm talking all the way into the summer. Like, I would pick this over mostly everything I know that's coming out.
Well, we were talking about all the movies and all the shows that are coming out. We got Into the Spider-Verse. We've got I think the next Avatar is coming out. There's we got three we got three Marvel movies coming out.
Yeah,
we got Doctor Strange, we got Ant-Man, and I forgive me for blanking on the third one, but Thor, Love and Thunder.
Thor.
So three Marvel movies in 1 year. That has not happened. 2022 is going to be really good for entertainment.
Yeah.
Which is great for us.
Yeah. And Ant-Man 3 has Kang in it, played by Jonathan Majors, that we saw on Loki. It's going to be great, man.
He was great.
Oh, man. See you soon.
You like that show, don't you?
I think a little bit. A little bit. Yeah. Anything else? Anything else you're watching, Ro?
What came out last night? Euphoria. I watched season 2 episode 1.
How was it?
I'm good, but I really think they can make a good spinoff with the guy, the actor Angus Cloud. His name is Fizz, and he's like some drug dealer. Grew up raised by his grandma. Like weird backstory. Like I'm surprised they showed his backstory first episode.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and like, cool. I kind of want more of this. Like, give me a whole different show about him.
Yeah, but he was the standout for me in season 1. I really liked him in season 1.
Him and his little brother, but yeah, I won't be surprised if we see a spinoff of him part in their universe, probably from Euphoria. But it's typical.
Yeah, typical, I mean,
like, Gossip Girl type stuff almost. Drama.
It's entertaining. Yeah, it's darker than that though.
Yeah,
because they
hit a lot of drugs. Yes.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, Zendaya is great in it. She's great in it. And they already did two highlight episodes, one on Rue, Zendaya, and then one on the Jules. So I could see them do a Fez highlight episode for sure.
They did it the first one last night.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. All right. Awesome. I'll be watching that soon. Yeah. All right. Before we get into Golden Globes here, I just gotta once again mention Yellow Jackets, guys. If you're not watching this show, please watch it. Please watch it. It is so. The thing is, it's unique, but it feels new. I mean, not unique. Like, it's a story that's been told before, kind of. You know, people go missing. What lengths will you go to survive? Right. That's a story that you've heard before. I'm sure.
What platform is on?
This is on Showtime, but I get it on Hulu.
But you were talking about how they play with time.
Yeah, dude, that's what makes it feel so fresh, because you're going back between 2021 and when they were missing. And I think it's 1990 or something like that. It's awesome. It is so cool what they do. It might be 95 or 96, whatever. Yeah, it's 96. Because it was 25, yeah, 96. And it's so cool because, you know, you're not in the same timeline for long. And you keep learning stuff throughout the way, right? So you'll learn a little bit about what they did when they were first lost, and then how they acted when they were lost for a year and a half. So
they're dropping breadcrumbs. For you to,
yeah,
how many main characters, two or more than two?
More than two. There's five survivors that they show in the future, so it's probably pretty much five main characters, but they definitely highlight on some more than others.
Your favorite?
Oh man, Christina Ricci, she is so good, man.
I love her, dude. Last thing I seen her in was just a little bit part in the last Matrix movie, which I enjoyed, but she's great in everything she does.
So all the characters, pretty much, like, without spoiling anything, obviously if you go through something like that, you lose a shitload of your friends. Some died in a plane crash, some died while you were stranded, and that's another thing they play with too, Brad. Like, you're like, I don't see this person in the future, what's gonna happen to them? And dude, it is fucking crazy. It's crazy. But Christina Ricci, yeah, when she's in the future, you know, like I said, obviously you're going to have some type of PTSD about this, but her character just has no shame, right? She's just like, this is who I am. And the other ones might try to hide it, be like, oh, I'm normal, I got everything, everything's fine. But then they're weird as shit. Then they're weird as shit when they're alone, right? Or they do some real shady shit, where Christina Ricci is just like, fucked up and she doesn't care. It's fucking, oh my God. She's funny.
I'm sold, man. I'm sold.
She's funny in it, dude. She's real funny. But yeah, if you guys didn't see that, please check that out. I can't recommend it enough. And I'll give my feelings on the end of season one, if it delivered or not. I'm guessing it will based on this season. And it's cool that they can do more seasons, you know, because there's still a secret, Brad. There's something also that's supernatural going on.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm in for that. So like I said, I got a day carved out that I'm just going to sit and watch.
Yeah. You're going to love it.
All right, cool.
So yeah, that's that. All right, let's get into the Golden Globes. Now they didn't really do a good job advertising this year, cause I didn't even realize they happened until I saw the winners.
Yeah. But
it could be because of this incident we just heard of. So the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, the HFPA, they are the organization that puts on the Golden Globes. So yes, the Golden Globes are put on by the press. Interesting. But they were accused of lack of diversity in their voting membership and also ethical lapses when it comes to sexual misconduct within their organization. So people were speaking out for that, as well as a culture of corruption, where companies are allegedly able to buy nominations or wins. So that would discredit the whole thing if that came out, right? Like no one will give a fuck anymore if that came out.
Well, showing up with that kind of information, what kind of credibility does any of the performances have?
Right. Yeah. And
like, award shows are all subjective anyway, but I mean, what kind of stock does it put into anything if you have to buy your winner? I mean, I saw that Jason Sudeikis won for Ted Lasso. Now he's a fan favorite. He did an amazing job. That is my favorite show. So yeah, guess what? I'm a little biased when it comes to it. Yeah, I think he should have won. And I don't even know any of the other actors or any of the other shows. It doesn't matter. I heard Ted Lasso and I heard Jason Sudeikis. Yes, my favorite. I want him to win.
Sounds good.
And he won. Did they buy it? I don't know. But I mean, award shows and the voting body are all normally very wealthy white men in their 70s.
Yeah.
So take that for what it's worth. I mean, Dan and I were talking about earlier, like, what would you rather win? A Golden Globe or an Emmy?
Right.
And we were talking, I'd rather win like a People's Choice Award because that means the people liked it, or a SAG Award because that's my fellow actors. Mm-hmm. That's the only real credibility that you're going to get out of these award shows. And then you hear all this. Are you really going to give it too much stock? I will, because, you know, Jason Sudeikis won and woohoo. But I mean, it doesn't change my like for the show.
Right. A lot of people tend to think this one's important because, you know, a good amount of the time, if you win best actor, best picture, you know, you might win it the Oscar as well. And obviously
it normally paves the way for an Oscar win when it comes to the movies and stuff.
Right. And an Oscar is the biggest thing you can get as an actor. Right. Yeah. But let's see if this has any effect on people caring even less last year about it. But I thought this was funny.
Best performance by an actor in a supporting role in any motion picture. Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck nominated.
Now that was Snoop Dogg. That was Snoop Dogg, who is I don't know if you guys know about this. I read about this in the papers. He sometimes imbibes in the marijuana.
Yeah.
And he is also wealthy. So, which means he has a lot of handlers. So it means he kind of shows up anywhere. He's got 9 people to roll his joints for him, show him the way. And then he is kind of placed on camera and told to read the teleprompter. And he read Affleck.
Which, right,
is such a goddamn disconnect with anybody watching that show, because come on. come on. I don't care who you are. You know who Ben Affleck is.
Seriously.
There's a little show called Good Will Hunting, The Town, Mallrats. He was Batman, wasn't he?
Yep.
I go immediately to Anchorman when he's like, fuck you, San Diego.
San Diego? Yeah.
They're just brainless show up, as they're reading.
Show up, read, you know, your Thai boy hooker is in the back for you. Don't worry about it. Like, yeah. Stop.
All right. So here's some of the highlights from last night. Michael Keaton took home Best Actor in a Miniseries for Dope Sick.
Dope Sick.
And this one was awesome news to me. Kate Winslet took home the same in a miniseries for Mayor of Easttown. So good on you, Kate Winslet. Hopefully they can figure out a way to do season two. Supporting actor, Oh Young-soo from Squid Game. He was number one. Old man, as they call him.
You know what? The one thing I will say about that I do like about the award shows now is the fact that I do not know half of the actors or the movies that are actually being presented, which means that they're reaching out to just not North American blockbusters.
Yeah.
They're going international all over, just recognizing mm-hmm. people's talents.
I love
Worldwide, though. Squid Games. It was Worldwide, one of my
Dude, South Korean movies and TV shows, I fucking love them. I love them, dude. They're so good. And I'm really happy about the ones recently too. You know, Parasite, I love that. They're just fantastic.
The vision is just different. The directing is different. The acting style is different. You're not going to get that with North American. You got North American movies trying to co-opt the way they do it, but it's
more cultural. Professional, I think
different. And you just, the way they shoot it is different. The way they act it is different. And different is good.
Yeah. And then, like Brad said, Jason Sudeikis won for Ted Lasso, Best Actor in Musical or Comedy. I mean, come on. It's just, he's perfect. Perfect in that role. And screenplay of a motion picture, Belfast, Kenneth Branagh won that. And I'm interested to see this one. You know, when the Oscar lists come out for Best Picture, I try to watch all of them. And I'm hearing this one's going to be nominated. It is black and white, but I like him a lot. So I'm going to check it out. Original score, Hans Zimmer won for Dune. That was pretty much a layup. Even though I didn't love the ending of Dune, the music was great.
It wasn't an ending. It wasn't an ending. It was a to be continued.
Yeah, for sure. Director of a motion picture, Jane Campion on The Power of the Dog. Now, Coach Hendricks said this wasn't good, and I'm probably not going to like it either. I'm going to try to watch it soon to check out Benedict Cumberbatch's performance in it. Also really like Jesse Plemons, Kirsten Dunst is in it. So, you know, I'm going to check it out. And this is definitely going to get nominated for Best Actor as well. So we'll see how it is. And Andrew Garfield won for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy for Tick, Tick, Boom. He might win Best Actor at the Oscars. He might.
He's so goddamn talented. Everyone thinks of him from Spider-Man, like Amazing Spider-Man 2. Not the best movie, but I mean, see him in The Social Network?
Yeah.
Like,
oh my god, so good.
He's an amazing actor.
Killed that part.
Yeah, seriously. So he could win. That's possible. And I know he didn't win for drama, but Oscars doesn't do drama or comedy. They just do Best Actor. So we'll see if he takes that home. But he'll definitely be nominated. Actress in a drama motion picture, Nicole Kidman on Being the Ricardos. I haven't seen this yet.
I haven't either.
But it looks interesting. I used to watch that show when I was young. So it's I Love Lucy, right? Isn't that what they're doing?
Yeah.
They like to do her time. Lucy, her time.
Lucy Ball. Lucy Ball and Desi Arnaz. Just
yeah.
I got a couple good people.
I watched a lot of that when I was a kid. A lot of fun.
Yeah. So did I. Nick at Night. Drama TV series Succession. I recently just tried to start this. I'm going to keep going because I hear such great things, but I'm like four episodes in, not blown away yet. Do you watch this?
I gave it a a couple episodes, and I've heard from credible people in the business and stuff like that, like they're tweeting about it and all that stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's beyond my Canadian brain or something like that, but I'm just like, it's all right.
Season three.
I'm looking at my phone when I watch it.
Okay.
And that's the meter for me. If I'm looking at my phone.
Yeah. That's a telltale sign that you're not that into it.
It's not drawn to you.
Not connecting.
Now, Will Smith won Best Actor in Drama for King Richard. So it'd be interesting. You know, they're probably both going to be nominated Best Actor for Oscar. I'll be pulling for Andrew Garfield, even though I didn't love it, but I know it has a lot of significance to it. Tick, Tick, Boom. Everything with Rent and that creator. So it is a great story. I'm just not in love with musicals all the time. It has to be like music that I like. That's why I love Across the Universe, the Beatles one.
Across the Universe is the greatest musical ever. I will fight Patty Egan. Greatest Showman. I loved as well. But no, Across the Universe, my gal pal Danny turned me onto that, and that freaking soundtrack is still on my Spotify
playlist.
Greatest
Showman is number one on this podcast, all right?
Maybe in the States. Maybe in the States, but in Canada, it's Across the Universe. And you know, here's the biggest joke. I'm not the biggest Beatles fan.
Bro, really?
I understand what they did and all that shit. But I think Beatles songs, oh my God, I'm going to get beat up for this. I think Beatles songs sound better when the Beatles aren't singing them.
Oh, so that's why you like it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're great words and they were awesome writers. So that's why I love their documentary shit so much. They were just such geniuses, and I love all things Liverpool. So obviously I love the Beatles. And now the two that are probably going to be up for Best Picture as well. West Side Story won for musical or comedy, and The Power of the Dog won for drama. So Power of the Dog is probably going to be dominated all over the place. And it's crazy that it's a Netflix movie. And that was a debate even on the show as of a couple of years ago. Will Netflix movies ever be good? And whether or not you like it, still impressive for it to be nominated and to win this award. Now, my favorite next Netflix movie is obviously Don't Look Up of last year. Cool to see it. It was nominated, Brad, for Best Musical or Comedy. It was nominated. Okay.
Now, I was under the impression that to win for an Oscar, that a movie had to have an actual theatrical run.
Yeah, I think you have to be in it for like 2 weeks or something like that. And it has to be like a certain number of theaters. So they probably did have it in certain theaters in like New York City, London, like Paris, like the big spots. For a certain amount of time for it to qualify.
Well, I mean, like with COVID and all that stuff, I understand, but I thought, could they change the rules? Because listen, people aren't going to theaters. I love going to theater, but like with the availability of streaming and stuff like that, that is dwindling.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like the old white guys that do the Golden Globe nominations, they're even older and whiter doing like Oscars. Like right. They really are. So eventually they're gonna have to die off.
Well, maybe if the Avengers musical come out, it might save it.
I would go see the Avengers musical just to see Hulk smash.
They'll save it.
They'll make it eventually. All right, let's get to Spider-Man talk. We'll keep you updated on the Oscar list when it comes out, and I will try to watch them all this year. But all right, No Way Home happened. What now, right? When will we see Andrew and Toby again? What do you guys think? Will it be their own movies in The Amazing Spider-Man 3 or Spider-Man 4, or will it be an ensemble thing, or maybe even Morbius? Will we see Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man in Morbius? That could be the same universe.
Before we even go into that, Spider-Man No Way Home has officially reached the 8th highest grossing movie of all time.
Yeah, that's great.
During COVID, during not COVID.
I think because of COVID, it really outshelled a lot because there's really not that much of an action-packed movie here.
They were trying to release everything, but okay. People went out to the theater with the possibility of death. Right. And they wanted to go see this movie. I was one of them.
Yeah. Because people say, you know what? I want to see this in theaters. I can't wait for it to come out. I'm going to the movie theaters.
I get past $1 billion. Right. Now, to say like a Marvel movie, Marvel movie's always $1 billion. Not every one of them. Endgame and Infinity War and all that did. And then it's Spider-Man. Out of all the Marvel movies, those are the top in the
They're the top three right now. They're all in the top ten. Yeah.
In the top ten highest grossing movies, you have Endgame, Infinity War, Spider-Man.
Wild.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy.
There's a lot of movies.
Yeah, there's argument over on Twitter about the Spider-Man trilogy and the Dark Knight trilogy. They're going crazy. About Dark Knight still better.
That's hard. Yeah. That's hard.
That's also a battle of the fanboys too, because
that is. Yeah, I mean,
DC, there's Warner, there's Marvel, there's Disney.
Different type of just different crowd though too. Maturity,
Dark Knight
was like a more mature type of crowd too.
What I don't like about that argument is there's people on both sides that are willing to die on that hill. So I try to stay away from arguing those types of things because that. Either way you try to break it down, someone's going to passionately disagree with you.
Yeah, always.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I love them both for what they were and what they are. You know, I still go back and rewatch the Dark Knight trilogy, but people think I'm crazy because I like the Dark Knight Rises the most out of all three. And people say, you're an idiot, Dark Knight's way better. I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's your opinion.
Yeah.
But
all subjective. All subjective.
That like, and that's
I
not
like, I like Bloodsport.
Yeah. He was great in the Suicide Squad.
Sean Claude Van Damme.
One. I'm so focused on comic book movies right now.
Well, Peacemaker's coming out soon, so we'll watch that.
Can't wait.
All right, so it's a Spider-Man. So back to your thing. How No Way Home left off is kind of where your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man starts. I would love to see the next movie. I don't need Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire. I want them to spin off into their own movies. The next movie, I want to see Tom Holland with his homemade suit, with his dumbed down web shooters, dealing with bank robberies. I don't want a super villain. I don't want anything crazy. I think the biggest struggle that he should have to fight with is, I'm Spider-Man and I saved the world. Right. I went to space. I fought Thanos and now I'm stopping muggers. Does this matter?
I would have like a mental breakdown type fight.
That's what I want the biggest conflict to be. Is
it worth it?
What am I what I am doing right now? Does it matter? Does anything really matter? Sure, yeah. You're gonna have some cool action. You're gonna have, but I want a lower level threat. I'm trying to think. What is the lowest level Spider-Man villain?
Well, I've heard rumors on what could happen, because when the multiverse almost broke open with all the people that knew who Spider-Man was coming in at the end, when Doctor Strange was like, I can't stop them, you could clearly see Kraven the Hunter, right?
Kraven would be a good one to actually try and, like, as Spider-Man is like stopping bank robberies and like giving old women directions, like he did in Homecoming, when he was calling Happy Hogan saying, yeah, I gave someone directions. She bought me a churro.
Yeah.
Keep it down low like that.
That's right there, your low level threat. The first one.
Then, the churros, yeah. And then out of nowhere, you have a net thrown over you and some you know, some crazed Slavic guy just said, okay, I'm here to hunt the Spider-Man.
See, you know,
get here's Javier Bardem or whoever to play Kraven, that'd be great.
Here's where the problem lies. Sony has greenlit a Kraven the Hunter solo movie, just like they did for Morbius and for Venom.
Right.
And they signed on Aaron Taylor Johnson to play him, the guy who played.
Right. I'm sorry. I forgot about that.
He played Wanda's brother, Quicksilver, in the MCU already. But that's where it arises. Will, you know, obviously they're going to keep sharing. I saw a funny ass meme, and it was the image of Walter White, his guys looking at all the cash that he had in the storage unit in Breaking Bad. And it was like, Sony and Marvel looking at it. Yeah, Sony and Disney looking at it. All right, I guess we'll make one more Spider-Man movie together. So they're going to keep sharing. It's a nice thing they got going on. Luckily, they were able to even do this, right? But I think they will keep Tom Holland's version of it low level for now until we get to the next Avengers movie or something like that, where we need more people to come. But in terms of Andrew and Toby, I think we'll see Andrew first, and I think we might see him in Morbius. They pushed it back to April 1st. Maybe he'll do a mid-credit scene or something like that. They said it was for because of COVID, which I believe in. The cases are fucking crazy right now, and it was supposed to come out on January 28th. So I think we could see Andrew Garfield in that. If you watch the trailer, there's Morbius walks by a Spider-Man image that someone spray painted murderer on. And you have the whole line in No Way Home where Andrew Garfield's like, I stopped pulling my punches. So that could easily tie in easily. And I'm curious to see if they'll put him in it at the end. But I don't know. What do you think, Roel?
Yeah.
Who are we going to see first? Who are we going to see first out of the three?
I think Andrew Garfield, I think.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you guys, especially of all
Morpheus is in a different universe.
Morbius, yeah. Well, it could be Andrew Garfield's universe. We don't know yet. We don't know. They did name drop Venom, so that would have to mean that that's also the same universe, and Venom didn't know about Spider-Man, so it opens up all these doors, but we have the multiverse. So,
Doctor Strange, you never know.
Yeah.
Am I the only one looking forward to this Morbius movie?
I think we got too many movies that we want to see before, probably, like Doctor Strange.
I'm an old school.
You probably know more. That's why.
No, you know what? I really don't. I love Jared Leto as an actor. All the way back to my so-called life with him and Claire Danes, like Fight Club, yeah. All that. I think he's a fantastic actor. He's a great singer too. But I like this from listening to every news cycle, entertainment, and other podcasts I listen to. Nobody gives a shit about this movie
until it comes out.
Yeah, I think the pushbacks, Brad, and they just pushed it back again to April. It's supposed to come out in a couple weeks.
April 1st.
So, I mean, the pushbacks for me are killing it because I feel like I've seen promotions and even trailers for the longest time, and you know that's not going to keep me interested if I have to keep waiting. But
I guess he's
not a big name like to everybody too, like as in his Marvel DC franchise. So nobody's paying it no mind, I guess, so far.
No, he's a B-level character. I mean, but if he was in the MCU, things would change. But like Venom is also there, and nobody's given the credibility. Like,
yeah,
like Blade. When Wesley Snipes did Blade, that's the origin of the Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And then it just went to that. Now we got Mahershala Ali Blade. So, I mean, it's going to go huge. But all these things are going to get absorbed. And I'm hoping that, like, Morbius is just a wicked character that nobody gives a shit about. But, like, I mean.
Let me ask you this, Brad.
Yeah.
Oh, were we going to say no one gave a shit about who?
Nobody gave a shit about, like, Bucky.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's, even Star-Lord.
Nobody gave a shit about the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, right.
And that's in the right, in the Morpheus right hand.
Morbius might be. You never know. I think it might take over.
Well, like you said, with the meme of, sure, I guess we'll make another Spider-Man movie. All those villains are going to be incorporated in one way or the other.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Disney is going to take over everything.
What do you think is more likely? To have Andrew Garfield and Morbius show up in like a mid-credit scene or something like that, or Tobey Maguire in Multiverse of Madness because Sam Raimi's directing it. And there's a lot of theories out there. You know, the studios knew that they were coming back for probably a couple of years, right? They had to sign them on and get it written and then make the damn thing. So they probably knew for quite some time that they were coming back. Now, Sam Raimi was brought on to do Multiverse of Madness. And what if that was one of the things to get Toby back? Like, all right, if he's involved and I can work with him again, you know, I'll definitely want to do it. Because we don't know what was in those contracts. We have no idea. No. What do you think is more likely?
I think
similar today.
I think the most likely thing is you're going to see Tobey Maguire play kind of like a Charlie Cox role. You know, he's not going to wear the suit. He's going to be dressed as a youth pastor. And he's going to do something Spider-Man-ish in the background.
In Multiverse of Madness?
Yeah.
I would love it.
I think that would be more likely. Like you got a kid running in traffic or something.
Saves him.
And like you got the organic web shooters shoot and pull him back. And just like tussle his hair and just walk along. Not even say anything. No quips, no nothing, not even a mask.
That'd be great. They just like open up a portal and see it real quick. I mean, the door's open.
Not even a portal, just him walking down the street. He's there. He's there, but you know what? He's been Spider-Man for a lot of years, and he's not done, but he's not forefront.
Yeah. I think it'd be great if he showed up, especially with Sam Raimi directing. I just love that now the possibilities are endless with when they can come back. They could come back for a limited role. They could have their own movie. Do you think they'll get like sequels eventually to, you know, maybe a Logan type swan song for Toby?
I hope so. I saw like Spider-Man in the theater, like, wow, Jesus Christ, whenever it came out. And I was with my girlfriend at the time, who was not impressed, like, oh my God, I can't believe I fucked this dude who likes Spider-Man. But I bought her popcorn, so that worked out. And I was there, like, cheering Tobey Maguire. And Willem Dafoe and everything. I loved it. I was there for it, because that was the time, oh my God, they're taking these movies seriously. All these wonderful properties, written by the comics, written by everything. They're doing it. They're fucking doing it. They put money into this. This is not Blade. This is not Daredevil. This is not fucking Trial of the Incredible Hulk, the TV movie way back in the day. Sorry, before your guys' time. But like, if you wait long enough, this is a great quote from Kevin Smith. If you wait long enough, you'll get everything you want.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever think you would see
Marvel did it?
Three separate Spider-Man in one movie?
No.
We're going to see everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Because guess what? The people that grew up on this are in charge now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're making the damn decisions. That's why all the movies that you love now are in line with what you wanted, because the people that grew up with them are actually able to make them now.
80s, 90s.
Yep. 80s, 90s babies, all that stuff. It's here. And the effects are there and everything works. So if you wait long enough, you'll get everything you want.
Yeah, I love that.
And we're going to see The Amazing Spider-Man Part 3.
It's like going back to the Book of Boba Fett. Like everybody wanted him to wait this long. Now look, the fans are in charge.
Exactly right.
You know, you go to the store, the customer's right. No, the fans are right.
What do you think?
Dave Filoni is my age, so he saw Boba Fett the same time I did. he saw Darth Vader the same time I did. The director of Rogue One is my age. All he ever wanted to see
that Darth Vader scene
was Darth Vader murder the fuck out of people.
Oh, yeah. So mad.
He gave him 30 seconds of him at murdering everybody.
At the end of the movie.
Do you remember anything from that fucking movie other than
The best part was the last part of the movie.
The blind kung fu guy beating the shit out of all the stormtroopers. It was the blind kung fu guy beating the shit out of stormtroopers and fucking Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Boom, that's it. That's the movie.
Yeah, that was like the coolest Darth Vader scene ever by a mile.
That's what we want, more of that, but I don't know. I don't think they're ready. They're not ready for that. That's rated R, I think. That's why.
Oh, we got that all these movies. Like,
all right, one more theory here. Will we see Emma Stone come back as a variant of Gwen Stacy to play Spider-Gwen?
No.
No. That's one of the big theories out right now.
We will not see Emma Stone. We will see a Spider-Gwen. We will see a live-action Spider-Gwen. Within the next 10 years, it will not be Emma Stone.
Will Andrew Garfield meet her as Spider-Man?
No.
Okay. Break it to, the animated one looks like Emma Stone, though.
Well, that's another one. We're watching Into the Spider-Verse, the sequel, part one, which looks amazing.
Across the Spider-Verse. Yeah.
That's trailer? Great.
Yeah.
No.
Looks fantastic.
Andrew Garfield, he completed his arc by saving Mary Jane. If they're smart, they won't taint that rescue by bringing her back.
Well, that's the scary thing, right? So if Sony goes ahead and makes it by themselves, they don't have that Marvel partnership to help guide them. So, you know, without Kevin Feige, all hell, Kevin Feige's insight, is it going to be as good? We'll see. Because, you know, I didn't love the Amazing Spider-Man movies, but I loved him in No Way Home. He was the standout Peter Parker in No Way Home. He was great.
Yeah, he was fun.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
He fit right into the Marvel cinematic mold.
Yeah.
But so did Toby.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Toby was nice and wise.
There's an energy around Marvel movies. Everyone like pans him for like being too comedic and all that stuff. But
oh man. His reaction when MJ throws the bread at him, he just shrugs his shoulders and goes, "Why'd you do that?" Yeah. It's great.
Why'd you do that?
And she's like, "Don't you have that thing?" And he's like, I have the thing, it's just not for bread. It's just
not gonna
hurt me. Why'd you do that? It's so good, man. He fit in perfectly, and I can't wait to see him again. I really can't. It's gonna be
when that movie comes. Does anybody know when that movie is gonna come to streaming?
February, late February.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when it'll be on digital. So we'll start getting a lot.
I'm gonna watch the fuck out of that.
Oh, dude. Lot. Like, I'm gonna watch it over and over again.
It's gonna turn into right now my background movie is The Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's gonna turn into the Spider-Man.
I love rewatching The Suicide Squad. I really do. That's why I can't wait for Peacemaker. So we got Peacemaker coming out this week. So we'll have our thoughts on that.
13th, I believe.
Okay. So we'll have our thoughts on that with Invader Sports Soccer Show guys. Hopefully Luke and Adam, but definitely Luke next week and Brad. That's going to be
international.
Fun, man. International episode. That'll be fun. So if you guys have any theories on this, hit up cinevaders@gmail.com or go to cinevaderspodcast.com and check us out on there or Cinevaders Lunch Table on Facebook. And we're also on Twitter and Instagram, just at cinevaders. Get in the conversation. It's more fun that way, right? Don't you think, Brad?
Absolutely. I mean, many moons ago, I interacted to a little thing called, you know, cinevaders@gmail.com. And now, unlucky you, I'm on the goddamn show.
There you go.
You called. Can you call it too, right? He left the voicemail.
Yeah, he left the voicemail. Yeah.
That's how
it works out. Actually, it just popped up.
You know what? It was about Thanos. It was about Thanos and piracy.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Do you pirate your movies? And if you pirate your movies, do you buy a ticket to keep it in a balance, a Thanos-like balance? That being said, Aquaman's awesome. I don't care.
Yeah, you also called after you left Aquaman. I remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, get in the conversation. It's fun that way. All right. Next week's going to be great. A lot of shit to watch this week, so we're going to break it all down next week. Peacemaker. And like I said, yep, we got an international episode coming right up. Thank you guys for listening. Love you, and we'll see you next time.
Love you guys.
See you guys.
Oh, thank you.